Reignite on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. We know that your focus is on your business. That's why ours is on supporting you.
Now, whether it is the late night email from the boss or a missed call from the teenager, we're constantly accumulating micro stresses all day, every day. That's zapping our energy, damaging our emotional and physical health. And the woman who coined the phrase micro stress and the strategy for fighting back is Karen Dillon. And Karen is a New York Times bestselling author and the former editor of Harvard Business Review. She's the co-author of a new book, The Micro Stress Effect: How Little Things Pile Up and Create Big Problems and what to do about it. And we caught up earlier and I began by asking her what a micro stress is.
So that's a word we actually came up with because of a phenomenon we were seeing in our research. So this isn't just something that we made up out of the blue, but this is something we actually were recognizing in lots of people. And we came up with the word because it's defining a particular type of stress that I don't think people even know how to talk about. They're moments of stress that are so brief, so tiny. They happen in such routine interactions with people in our workday, in our personal lives, that are so routine that we barely notice them. Our brains barely register them. But whose cumulative toll is actually quite enormous.
You think they ultimately break down into kind of three categories. What are they?
We broke them down in our research into three broad categories, and most people have all these forms in a typical day, really. It's they come flying at us all throughout the day, but micro stresses that drain our capacity to get things done, they get in the way of our being able to get through the things we need to get through. Micro stresses that deplete our emotional reserves, they sort of drain how we're feeling throughout the day, and micro stresses that challenge our identity. They're things that sort of make us not feel great about who we are at that particular moment. And all of those things weave throughout our day in routine interactions with other people that we barely notice. But again, they sort of add up to something very significant.
And we all know like what a big stressful life event can feel like, whether it's maybe redundancy, divorce, grieving. And so we go into, you know, freeze or flight. What happens though when we're dealing with these micro stresses when it comes to the body and the brain and how we react?
A really good sort of way to think about it is a big stress that you mentioned, macro stress, would be like a dynamite explosion on a mountain. And it sort of, you see it explodes right away. You see the hole. People know something happened. There's sympathy for it. You know how to talk about it and point to the wound on the mountain. But micro stresses are ones that are kind of like the wind eroding the mountain. They sort of chip away at it and break it down. And over time, the wind, you can't see eroding the mountain day to day, but over time that mountain becomes a nub. Micro stresses do the same thing to us. What's happening is they are not registering in our brain the same way because they're so brief that a big stress would. So our brain kind of doesn't remember it really. The frontal lobe of our brain where memories are first made, the sort of mental scratch pad, doesn't really record it in the same way. But our body does trigger all the same reactions that other forms of stress do. Increased heart rate, adrenaline, hormonal changes. So our bodies are feeling stressed, but we literally don't remember why. That's what micro stress does to us.
And give us maybe some of those examples of those micro stresses, be it the late night email from a boss and trying to kind of process what to do. And can they be harmful ultimately if they're continuing to pile up?
They're definitely harmful if they're continuing to pile up because micro stress kind of still takes a toll and it doesn't necessarily go away. Just because it's brief doesn't mean it hasn't sort of registered on your body and then triggered other stresses. A simple one, you mentioned the email. Who hasn't got an email late at night and made the mistake of looking at their email and then already you're not going to sleep well because you're thinking about what you're supposed to respond or you're on it and you're immediately now disengaged from your family, your friends, whoever you're with. It's just already taken a toll. You probably don't sleep well. You probably trigger early the next morning to try to get on top of it. You may fire off an email to other people to try to help. Suddenly, what looks like, you know, a 30-second reading of an email has consumed hours of your time in some way and taken a toll on your life in the small way. The quality of your life is worse after that email. Micro stresses are things that individually look like, how could that possibly be a big deal? But because you have so many, it's just like ping pong balls are, you know, coming at you throughout the day, throughout the night. And they start to really wear you down. One of my favorite examples is, and everybody's had this, you leave the house in the morning, you know, you growl at somebody, you exchange curt words, you make a sort of have a little mini fight over chores or something inconsequential. You carry that with you through the rest of the day. You feel bad about yourself. You're not fully concentrating the way you might. It's just you started off the day not feeling good about something tiny that will be fine. And it's sort of going to affect you for the whole rest of the day. Even your ability to kind of focus in the same way would be less than had you had a really great start to the day. And we all have days like that.
And often when we talk about stress management, you know, the advice from experts will be, oh, pick up these new routines around meditation and mindfulness and practice gratitude. But you'd argue instead that we have to get rid of some of the difficult habits and routines and maybe behaviours in our lives. And you've got this 2-2-2 method. Could you take us through what that is?
Sure. So we talk about Mike stress goes throughout all of our lives all the time. We can't get rid of it all. But you can actually make a really big difference by removing a couple of micro stresses that will have a much bigger impact on you immediately than adding more practices, which are good to help make you stronger to deal with stress. Why don't we try to take a little of the stress away? So the 2-2-2 method is just a way that I like to think about how to get a little bit of a plan to get on top of it. Is you look at the list of all the different forms of micro stress, which we have in our book. There are 14, and try to identify two of them, two of the sources where they're coming from, a peer, a boss, a family member, that are routine enough that if you were able to somehow eliminate it or change it or reduce it, would make a really big impact on you right away. So just identify two. You can do that. You can probably figure out how to change the interaction with someone in a way that will take two of those away. Then do the same thing and pick two that you are unintentionally causing other people. As parents, we cause a lot of micro stress to our kids, even though we know they cause us micro stress too. Think about if there are two things that you could do, for example, to reduce the micro stress with the family or with some of your colleagues. That will help you in the long run, because if you remove micro stress from a colleague or a loved one, they're not going to sort of push it back at you, which is what almost always happens. And then a healthy thing to do is just to pick two that you're going to choose to consciously rise above. I can't control all of this. I'm not going to be able to stop this one. I'm going to choose to not actually let myself get dragged down into being super stressed out about it. And if you just do that, so two of each of those forms, you will actually make a really big change in your day-to-day life and your day-to-day microstress, and that will feel really good.
And do you think if we do some of, if not all of that 2-2-2 method that you talk about, we might be able to prevent some of the strains that do happen to our body if we are constantly exposed to a lot of these micro stresses? I know your research shows some examples around how we consume food afterwards and if we confront stress and what happens to our blood pressure and our heart rate. Is some of this now preventative? And can you tell us a little bit more about the studies and the impact on the body?
Sure. So the key thing to know is that the body doesn't really distinguish between different forms of stress. So though it is more dramatic and it's more important, obviously, having death of a loved one or loss of a job, the bigger forms of stress, microstress is still chipping away at your body in a really destructive way. And what you're referring to is there's some research that suggests that if we're exposed to social stress within 2 hours of eating a meal, our bodies will respond as if we ate 104 extra calories. And that may not sound like very much, but if that happened every day for a year, you would gain 11 pounds.
This explains a lot.
I don't know how long much more I can go on claiming it's the baby weight. My kids are in college. So maybe it's the micro stress. That's the thing. Our bodies really are responding to stress in a protective way, but we don't realize it's happening. So yes, it can be really significant to remove a couple of those forms of stress. Can help you in so many ways. And the ripple effects of that, the ways that micro stress would affect your family life, your quality of life with your friends, your ability, you know, the way you wake up in the morning and head off to work. Are you waking up already stressed, or are you waking up okay, ready for the day? It's a really different feeling. And so I think it's worth trying to do.
Just finally, Karen, you also believe in the power of other people and human connection, but also this idea of resilience network that you can turn to in these moments of strife and stress.
I think it's one of the most powerful insights from our research, and I personally have really tried to adopt it. It's so many of us think of resilience as something that comes from our inner grit, our inner strength, is that I can handle it, I can do it. And most of us can. We're strong and we get stronger, and that sort of separates the men from the boys. You know, do you have inner grit to get through it? But in reality, wouldn't it be much nicer to not have to just make yourself stronger and stronger and stronger to get through difficult times? And I think if most of us think about times that we have had difficult challenges, if you think about how you got through, it was probably almost always involving other people in some way providing you with support. So one of the things we found in our research are the people that dealt with microstress best had what we call a resilience network. And what that means is, in addition to having, most of us have a best friend or a spouse or a really close work colleague who we can turn to for empathy or support in whatever way, they had a broader network of people who could help them in different ways that were really helpful and resilient. So instead of just having the people who were our besties who would, you know, be supportive no matter what, they also had people who may not be close friends, but they could turn to for help me figure out a path forward, or help me reframe this so I understand better the context of what happened. Or all of us need friends who provide humor to get through a tough situation. They formed a kind of very informal set of connections of people that they found different ways to engage with those people that really, really helped them get through stressful times. So I think instead of thinking about your bestie getting you through something or your spouse, think about, can you build and grow a resilience network and be part of someone else's where you can just be helpful in small ways that are going to really help them navigate that stuff.
It's really great advice. I, for one, I'm off now to figure out how to avoid all social stress within 2 hours of a meal, for one, and many other things that you've advised on. Karen Dillon, thank you so much for that. And Karen is the author of a new book called The Microstress Effect, How Little Things Pile Up and Create Big Problems and What to Do About It. Thank you, Karen, for joining us.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.